there. We're going to just kind of spend this whole service in communion. We don't do it often, but as you've been here long enough, man, you know when we do communion, it's not just a traditional thing. We just don't go in and out. It's not even the first of the month. Like, wow, that's breaking all kind of rules. Like, we're not into that, but we're into a point to say when we really come to the table, when we come to a place of communion, man, it's personal. It's very personal. And this morning, I wanted to start a whole new series, which you'll hear at the end of the service, but I want to start a whole new series today. And it's just something that's been on my heart for months, literally months in this series. But man, on my vacation and just sitting on that deck of the house, you guys can pass those out. Man, you're in the midst of just nothing but woods and beauty and creation over this amazing, beautiful lake. And that's just a great place, honestly, a great place for God just to talk to you. Just a great place to get into his presence and a great place to get into his word. And here I'm going over this next series and just kind of studying and preparing and writing things out. And I just really, honestly, I got just a sense in my heart that just wasn't a good enough direction, that we really had to have a close to the last series. I mean, the last series was a powerhouse series on God's greatness, about his creation from starting with Al and then going to Seth and where Seth visited in the Grand Canyon, and then coming back to me where Renee and I were on the beach. And I mean, this was a pretty long series talking about how great God is, and kind of like the big idea was about worship. It was about, this is why we worship. He deserves to be worshiped because he is awesome, because he is highly to be praised, because his greatness is unsearchable, because even in just we see is absolutely grand and splendid and majestic in his creation, but that is just a tip of his greatness, which we just can't see. And then we got into his holiness and how holy he is and how he's separate from anything sinful or anything that is defiling or anything that is impure, and yet he has such a love for us that just all we have to offer him is our sin. And we talked about his great name. Holy, awesome is his name. Great is his name. We talked about throughout the whole series, it's not okay to be okay with sin. We referenced and talked about sin and how we need to just understand what it is to have a reverence of God, a hatred for sin, and a love for people. I mean, it's just kind of a awesome, powerful series, but kind of a heavy series. We talked a lot about worship, talked a lot about praise. And the whole thought was, man, we're seeing worship in this church go in a great direction, man. We're headed in an amazing direction in our worship. Because I think we're getting a really understanding of what biblical worship really looks like. And just how do we not just come to a place to be in awe of the great I am and what he's done for us. And I just, honestly, man, on my vacation, I just felt that we need to close that series out properly with, honestly, with the real reason, the number one reason of all reasons of why we worship and why we are called to be so thankful. And it really is a picture of the cross. Man, I want to go through communion. I want to get into my next series today and just really get kicking on that. It's going to be powerful. But I really just had a sense, Sean, take the whole service. Do it a little different. Take the whole service and concentrate on one thing, the cross. That's the reason. Gang, that's the reason why we worship. That's the reason why we should come undone in our praise, come undone in our worship. That's why when you understand, worship means to be all in. All in spiritually. It's a spiritual encounter with God. It's us connecting with God in our worship of him, crying out to him, honoring him, giving him the worship that's due his name, coming to a place to be thankful in such praise because of what Jesus has done for us. Man, it's a spiritual encounter with God, giving him one direction to God. We're amazed by you. You're awesome, amazing. We thank you for what you've done for us. Man, it's a spiritual connection with God. It's an emotional connection. There's three things: it's spiritual, emotional, and physical. It's an emotional connection with God where we just don't just come in like a bunch of robots and do what we're called to do, but there's this emotional sense of grief. Some people are in tears. Some people are just really in this place of being in awe of God, even in silence. And there's such emotion attached to worship and praise because we are connecting spiritually, truly to the one living God. Because we have the right to, because of the work of the cross through his son Jesus Christ. And it's a physical encounter where you will see many on their face, you'll see many clapping, you'll see many with hands in the air. So what is worship, man? It really is a sense of there's three parts. It's a spiritual connection, it's an emotional connection, and it's a physical connection. Why? Because it's a personal connection. What makes it so personal, folks? The cross. When you really dig deep and understand the work of the cross for you and for me, it is personal. It is so personal. And I had people, even just because of the actions in Dallas and just the heartbreak of that and what took place with cops, and we need to be praying for our law enforcement. We need to be praying for our officers. We need to be praying for the things that are just going on around the world against law enforcement. And just, I had people just in the foyer, just in tears, and just, I had people laying hands on me and praying for me. That's emotion. That's emotional. That's physical. And it's spiritual because they're crying out to God for law enforcement. For me. But how much more so in this sense, in a sense of worship, in a sense of praise, how much more so that you really understand when you really connect, it is a spiritual connection, it is an emotional connection, and it's a physical connection that we're called to do different things, whether it is bow, whether it is clap, whether it is instruments, whether it is our voice is a physical action. Every one of us has an instrument in our voice, some good, some not so good, but it's an instrument. It's a physical action because God gave you vocal cords. He gave you a voice. And it's to be used to worship and praise. It's physical. Man, in our sense of me just looking out over this lake and just really having the absolute quiet of the morning. I mean, it's great because you got a, I don't know, four or five families in this huge mansion of a house. And I'm the one who's up first making coffee and just on the deck. And it was just beautiful because I just had silence, man. It was amazing. Amazing. And I really just felt like you got to just stop. Slow down and understand communion. Understand as you've been talking about worship and you've been talking about praise that you would come to a place to understand the reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That if you would just believe in him, that you will have everlasting life. You will never perish. That's the reason. Yes, he's great. Reason. Yes, he's holy. Amazing. Yes, his name is powerful. It's awesome. It's holy. It's great. Yes, yes, yes. All reasons to worship that we covered. But I really felt the Lord saying, Sean, you'll miss it if you don't talk about the cross for the very reason. Why we come together and are amazed spiritually and connected emotionally and physically in a sense of community here in this church week after week after week after week as our worship just continues to go in a powerful direction here in this church as we continue to go in a deeper level in our worship and understanding that it is all about him. When you come to a place to even understand his grace is amazing. Oh God, I am saved by your grace. When you really get it, folks, when you understand it's not tradition, it's not church attendance, it's not you walking the right line and being good enough, it is by his grace, because all we have to offer, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only thing we got to give back is our filth and our sin. And God says, by his son and the blood of his son, he says, covered, forgiven, free. Why? Is it personal to you? Because God loved me. And then he would give his son. What does that look like? He gave his son. His son left heaven. Been for all eternity. Always has been. To put on flesh, to come through the Virgin Mary and to live this life of absolute perfection, all on purpose. Jesus knew the plan. Nothing had changed. He knew from the beginning, this is the plan. God creates man to have relationship and fellowship with man, and man blows it in sin and breaks that relationship and that fellowship and that relationship. Now it has this huge Grand Canyon gap, never to be reconciled except for his son. Jesus Christ came, put himself on a cross for the purpose of reconciling the relationship which God first wanted with man. He knew it. This was the whole plan. So he comes and he lives this perfect, incredible, spotless life for a night where he gets arrested, all on purpose, is the plan. gets arrested, several different trials. Then he comes to a place to come before Pilate, and there's this crowd, and Pilate's about to release him and then send Barabbas. And Barabbas is already supposed to have that center cross. It's already made for him. He puts it before the people. Barabbas, who's a murderer, who's this one who's caused riot against Rome. He's a terrible, terrible, terrible. And he deserves to put on him or Jesus. All Jesus did was claim to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the king. They say that you're king of the Jews. And Jesus says, it is as you say. He claimed to be a king. And he was the king. He claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of God. And he absolutely was then and is now. For that, the people cried out, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. It just got louder and louder. The crowds of the people, crucify him. Release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Crucify Jesus. Then he takes him, and then he has him flogged, or he has him whipped or scourged. And this is possibly between 2 and 4. Scholars say sometimes there was 2 men. Sometimes there was 4 men. And these were Roman centurion soldiers who were just, honestly, the beasts of the soldiers. These were the big jack dudes who had an art to crucify, had an art for the scourging, had an art for this. They knew how to bring somebody within an inch of their life to their last breath and then take them to the cross for the final showing. They stripped Jesus naked and they tied him to a post and they just began to take it to him with a whip. This is Jesus, folks. For me. For you. Whipping after whipping after whipping. 100% man. Feeling every inch. But the thing that is so really amazing is that it was all on purpose. This was the plan from the beginning. He knew what it was going to take. Whipping after whipping, with every whipping tenderizing the skin, and then the next whipping will be pulling flesh from the body, and then the next whipping will be tenderizing the skin, the next whipping will be pulling flesh from the body over and over and over and over. All in absolute complete pain and shame, where he's naked, tied to a post, and they just kept whipping him and shredding and shredding and shredding and shredding and shredding his skin. Then after that, it's amazing, they take him and put a purple robe on him and they just begin to mock him. They put this crown of thorns on his head. The Bible says that they pounded into his head, his crown of thorns. They had these little baseball bats called rods, and they would just continue to tune him up, continue to spit at him, continue to put these crown of thorns and just pound it into his skull. He's already shredded physically. Why? Folks, it is personal. It is personal. Just begin to mock him. Oh, hail, King of the Jews. You who can prophesy who hit you. It's just a game to them. The very one who was putting his life on the cross on purpose for them, designed from the very beginning. And they make it into a game. They rip that purple robe off, what that must have been like. Put on his clothes, and then they bring him to the cross, and they lay him down on the cross, and they pound, or they take up this road, the road to Calvary, and you could imagine him carrying this cross where he is so tuned up and he's so battered. You get this picture of when he hung on the cross. The Bible said in Isaiah 52:14 that he was unrecognizable as a human being. What? Why? Because God so loved me that he gave. Why do we worship, folks? Why are we just amazed at his grace? Why are we amazed at who he is and what he's done? Why are we so incredibly in a sense of worship and awe and praise because of what Jesus has done for me? Because it's personal to me. Because God loved me so much that he gave. What? His son. Why? Because he loved me. And they hang him on the cross and they nail these huge nails into his hands and into his feet, and they bring him up under that post and they set that post on him. Many scholars say that when that post hits in, your joints come out of joint, you become dislocated, maybe in the shoulders or even in the knees. And the only way to breathe is to lift up from the knees, and it's misery, painful, unrecognizable as a human being. And that moment comes when it's been dark now for 3 hours and you hear this voice in the darkness. My God, why have you forsaken me? Folks, when you understand the reality of this, it's the reality of God the Father for the first time ever, ever, ever having to be separate from his Son. Why? Because of sin. Whose sin? My sin. Why is it so personal to me? Because in that moment, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, on purpose, it was a planned event, on purpose, took the hit for me. Yeah, it's personal. And I tell you what, on that porch, God's just saying, Sean, this is the reason. This is why we worship. And man, we join with those in heaven. The Bible says this, please hear this, man. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. Why do we worship? Revelation 5 says this. This is John and he's writing this. Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads and myriads, or 10,000s and 10,000s and thousands and thousands, which is a countless number, folks. So you've got this picture of this going around the throne, and there's thousands and thousands and 10,000s and 10,000s, and the number was countless. And they were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Honor and glory. And worthy, get this. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, and might. Honor. Who gives him honor, folks? It should be us, the church. Who gives him glory, folks? It should be us, the church. Who is it that wants to bless him? It should be us, the church. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Why? Because it's personal. Look at this. And then every created thing. Are you a created thing? Day six, man, God gets this whole pile of dirt, puts it together, and he breathes his life, and he creates man, and then he creates woman out of man, and then they create over and over and over again. Yes, gang, every single one of us in this room are a created being. And look at this. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth, that's us, and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, and dominion forever and ever. And then the four living creatures kept saying amen. I can just see these creatures just flying around the throne when all this is being said. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and might, honor, glory, and blessing. And then they continued this to say, blessing and honor and glory, dominion forever and ever. And then every time this completed, these four living creatures say, amen. And they would repeat and they would say, amen. And it repeats and they say, amen. And then the elders would fall down and worship. Just to really come to a point in this whole series is, why is it that we come to a place to want to worship him with everything in us? It's spiritual, it's emotional, it's physical, it's us connecting with the great I am, it's us being amazed in him, it's us saying yes. The biggest reason is this right here, folks. It's the cross. It's the Lamb who was slain. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who takes away the sins of the world. Folks, please hear this, man. It's so personal. It's not because you're in church. It's not because it's tradition. It's not because it's the first of the month. It's personal. It's so personal. It's because Jesus put himself on a cross on purpose for me, and God forced his hit to hit Jesus and not hit me. And in that I have everlasting life. Why? Why? Because God so loved the world. That's why. It's amazing. Do you understand His grace is amazing. Before we take communion, just bow your heads, please. And I don't know if you're new in this place today or how long you've been coming, but can I ask you just a serious question before we take communion? Man, do you know Jesus? Not because of your church attendance, not because you give tithes and offerings, not because of your family. I'm asking you personally. Man, is this personal to you? Do you realize that Jesus said, remember this. Take my body, take my blood. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever take it for granted. Do you know me? Do you really know me? Do you come to a place to recognize Jesus? Do you know me, that I died for you? Have you confessed me as Lord and Savior? Have you come to the Father and asked for forgiveness and recognizing what it is to repent? Do you know me? Did you make it personal? Come on, man, please, if you made it personal with Him, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I love that He doesn't make it difficult for us. He gave it all, folks. He gave it all for us so that we would turn to Him and that we could have it all because He gave it all. It's so amazing that we would just come to a place to confess, yes, I get it. You wanted a relationship with me from the beginning, but sin got in the way. And Jesus, you took that sin out of the way, and now I can be in a relationship with you based on the work of the cross, based on the grace of God by which we are saved through faith. Man, you're in this place. If you try to make it yourself, you're trying to row upstream, saying, I'm going to please God with me just working so hard, or I'm going to get into the kingdom by me just rowing upstream, and I'm just going to work, and God is just saying, please stop. It's by grace. You got nothing to add. We got nothing to give. I can just see God in heaven going, stop! It's not by works. It's not by tradition. It's because of my grace. Because I love you. He says, just come. Put the words down and quit working so hard and just come. When you realize it's Jesus, it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. Serious call for salvation today, folks. This is why we worship. This is why we praise. Because worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Folks, come on, please. Do you know Jesus? Man, just keep your head down. Man, I'm telling you, if the Spirit of God is saying you need Jesus, man, you've tried to do it yourself, or maybe you're just new here. You bought into a lie of tradition. Bought into a lie of doing things for the church. I just get this picture of you just laying down your oar and you would just stop rowing upstream and you would just say, Jesus, you've already done it all. I'm in. Man, you just come to a place to say this. Say, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I know that my sin has separated me from you, and I'm asking that you would just forgive me. And I repent from my sin. I turn from it. Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, you put yourself on a cross on purpose for me. And I call on your name for salvation right here in this moment. Right here in this moment, I call on your name for salvation, that you would save me by your grace. I'm so undeserving of this, but you will save me when I confess and I call on your name. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I know that you're alive right now. You're at the right hand of the Father, and you hear my cry. You hear my cry. And I cry out to you today. And I just ask that you would just get the picture, you laying those oars down and saying, Jesus, I'm all in. I surrender. I surrender. Oh, Jesus, I surrender. And we look to communion and we look at Jesus. Man, folks, if you just look at me just for a minute, man, Jesus said this. He said, this is my body, which is for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And when you understand, Jesus is saying, listen, don't ever take it for granted. Remember that this was for you. Remember that. When you understand, well, what makes it so personal? This is my body, which is for you. Gang, that's Jesus screaming for you. This is personal. Don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever take the work of the cross for granted. Recognize that when we understand the work of the cross, we understand his body was broken and it had to be that way. It was a planned event. Everything was planned out from eternity, knowing what was going to take place on purpose. He took that road to Calvary on purpose for me. He said, Sean, it was for you. My body on a cross, unrecognizable. Sean, that was for you. Tell you what, folks, there are moments when I really understand that, even in my own quiet time, that just breaks me. Yeah, but God, you know the week that I've had. You know things that I've said. You know where I've been. You know my attitude this week. You know, Sean, it was for you. Just remember that, folks. It was personal. It was for you. The night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Please take part. That's so beautiful when you really understand. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Folks, when you grasp the idea and the fact and the truth that we are forgiven, that we are forgiven, that we are free. And Jesus comes to a place, say, listen, this is the new covenant in my blood. And he says this as often, I love this. I love where the word changes. He says, as often as you do this, remember, when you're talking about the blood, you're talking about sacrificial blood. You're talking about payment for sin. You're talking about the blood that has cleansed us from all sin, that we stand before the Father rightfully cleansed, justified or restored because of the blood of Jesus, forgiven because of the washing of what? The sacrificial blood of the Lamb. Powerful picture. And he says, listen, as often you do this, gang, the enemy is going to want to convince you that you are not forgiven, that you are full of sin and you're full of shame and you are full of guilt. But the Bible says in Romans 8 that we are not under condemnation. We are not under guilt. We are not under shame. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. For those who are what? In Christ. For those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation. Why? Because Christ covers our shame, covers our guilt, covered our sin based on forgiveness because of the blood. And man, when you get this, he says, remember what? I'm forgiven. I'm free. And there's times again you think, yeah, but you don't know my week. Forgiven. Beautiful. It's so beautiful. This is why we worship. Because worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And again, he took the cup and said, this is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, right here, right now, you need to know you're forgiven. Every time you come to the table, he says, there's power in this, that you're reminded again that you're free, that you're forgiven. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Please go ahead. And you can pass your cups to the outside. I just want to share one passage with you because I want you to see this, because there's another work of the cross that's so beautiful. Because I think there's times that we can look at the cross and we know that it's the forgiveness and we know that it's Jesus and we know And it's a place of what he has done for us, and we just are amazed by it. But there's several pieces, and I just want to cover one piece this morning. This is where I really felt in my heart that we need to cover in the cross, and it comes from Hebrews 12, and it's a sense of endurance, because I think even in this life and even in this day and age that we can just get hit, and we can get hit, and we can get hit, and every day happens, and then different things take place, and then we go through these seasons of life, and marriage comes with its ups and its downs, and kids come with their ups and their downs, and finances comes with their ups and their downs, and persecution comes with their ups and their downs, when you really are holding the line to truth, and you're standing strong for what is right in truth, man, there is going to be hits that we take, but in that we can get kind of worn down. In the midst of life, sometimes we look at life and say, man, it's just best if I just quit. And I think one of the worst things happens, I think we just begin to lose hope. Please hear this. I think we just begin to lose hope. And in that, we begin to lose heart. And you know what the Bible says? It says, look to the cross. That's what Hebrews 12 says. It says, look to the cross. I mean, look at this. Come on, I want you to read this. I want to read this to you. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice this word endurance. Let us run with endurance. Endurance, it means perseverance. It means to be steadfast. It means to be confident in going forward. Endure the race that's set before us. Verse 2, this is huge. It says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus. When you're running this race, there are going to be things that are going to try to trip you up or entangle you like a spider web. There are things that are going to try to take at your heels and try to slow you down. There are different things in different seasons of life that are going to try to trip you up. But the Bible says this, in the midst of that, we're called to look to Jesus. We're called to fix or set or looking toward Jesus. But look what it says. I want you to hear this. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who what? For the joy set before him, he did this. He endured. Look to Jesus. Set your eyes on Jesus. For what? For the joy that was set before him, he did what? He endured. Well, what did he endure? He endured the cross. That's what Hebrews 12:2 says. We're supposed to look to Jesus and how he endured the cross, how he took the hit for you and I. He understood what it was to persevere. He understood what it was to go confidently. He understood what it was to be steadfast. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look at this. For consider him, talking about us, you and I, who've gone through this race, you and I who are called to endure the race. You and I are going through the seasons, going through the hits. Looking at a sense to say, man, I'm about to give up. Man, I can just feel hope just beginning to drain. Honestly, I think that's one of the worst positions to ever be in. You can just sense hope just draining. But the Bible says this, but consider him. Verse 2 says, look to him. Verse 3 says, consider him, or fix my eyes on him, or focus on him who what endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that what? When we look to him, when we consider him, and knowing all that he went through, the Bible says, so that what? So that we, that's us, you and me, so that we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. So that we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. We're not going to lose hope. When we do what? When we look at the problem and we begin to praise, and we look at the worry and we begin to worship, and we just fix our eyes on the cross and say, that was for me. And if you endured that, I am all in. I'm all in. And in that, there's strength and there's perseverance. And in that, that is what's going to cause me to endure. So that what? What happens? The Bible says, when you consider him, when you look to his endurance, when you look to what he did for us on the cross, and you look at what he endured, what he had to go through, and all the setting up from the road to Calvary, from the whipping, from the mocking, from God's wrath being poured on him, that was the joy. What's the joy? That's you and I. That's the joy of the Lord, that you and I, that he endured the cross, and that if we would consider him, and if we would fix our eyes on him, and our problem then would be fixed on our praise, and our worry would be fixed on our worship, and then we would just fix your eyes and we would consider him, so that what? So that you will not grow weary, and so that you will not lose heart, or you will not lose hope. Why? When we consider him, there's so much power in the cross. just bow your heads just for a moment, please, and then we're going to close in a song. Man, I just want to pray for you, please. No one's looking around, man. I just want to pray for you. And if you're in this place, just say, Sean, I need to endure. The season of life that I'm in or I've been going through, maybe it's been years, maybe it's been a month, maybe it's been a week, maybe you had a bad Saturday. And you're in this place, you say, I just want you to pray for me that I would endure, that I would be able to fix my eyes on the cross, and that my praise would cover my problem and my worship would cover my worry, and I would consider that Jesus endured for me so that I don't have to lose heart and I don't have to grow weary, and I can gain my hope, and I will feel. I'm going to pray that that hope just begin to rise back up in you when you do one thing. You get your eyes off the problem, you get your eyes off your worry, and you consider and you fix your eyes on him who endured for what? You. And in that, if he can do it, man, he reigns and dwells within me. Let that hope rise up within you. On the count of three, no one looking around, but man, I just want to see your hands. One, two, three. Put them up high all over the place. Put them up high. God, please. God, that we would just look to Jesus. We'd look to Jesus. Oh, God, let hope rise up in us again, please. That we will not grow weary. That we'll not lose heart. God, gain our heart again. God, help us to endure. Help us to be strengthened. God, that we would persevere. God, that we would be steadfast. God, that we would be confident again because of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He endured. He was confident. He persevered. So can we. Folks, I just ask that you would do this. If your hand's in the air, you would just come to a place to fix your eyes on Jesus. To consider. That means to think on, to dwell on over and over and over and over. Get your mind off the problem and come to a place of praise. Get your mind off your worry and come to a place to worship. That's consider. That's looking towards him. Oh, Father, bless these people, please. God, I ask that in this moment, hope begin to rise up. That hope begin to rise up. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.